Okay, you guys ready for the word? Romans chapter 9. Father, as we continue on in speaking about end time things, Father, we call it eschatology, but Father, we know that it's a message that we need to focus in on because we know that your return is very, very soon. Father, you've spoken to my heart through the searching of scriptures and I just want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for clarifying voices that can come to me and not come to me through the Word. I've learned to ignore them, but when your voice speaks, it speaks to me through the Word. So this morning, Father, as I share with your beloved people, guide my lips so that when your people hear, they do not hear incorrectly, but they hear correctly the spoken word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what I'm going to share with you this morning, and you have to understand that what you're going to hear this morning is not what you normally hear about end time things, but they are things that you must understand. Not only for the sake of the redemptive work of Christ, but also for the nation of Israel. I'm really disturbed in my heart about what I'm hearing on television concerning what they're trying to do to promote Judaism as a parallel to Christianity. It really bothers me. I have been searching scriptures very intently, and I can say honestly what I'm about to share with you today is not because supernatural guidance God has given me, but purely as the Holy Spirit spoke to me through Scripture to clarify many things that I heard that disturbed me. I'm going to tell you what God's main purpose is for our dispensation, our generation. It has a twofold meaning. Whenever you hear any message of the gospel, it should do two things. Number one, it should promote the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, it should promote the glory of the present-day church. And so what I'm about to share with you today, please do not look at me as someone who is anti-Israel. That is not my purpose at all this morning of what I'm about to share with you. But I put all my thoughts down on paper to stay current and accurate, to move forward, and to give you some special insight that God had placed in my heart concerning Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and chapter 11, concerning the church and concerning the nation of Israel. It is true that many people do not believe that there is going to be a catching away of the church. You don't really see much understanding why they believe that way. And when they do give an understanding of it, it is scripturally poorly meditated through when they put together their thesis for why the church should not expect a catching away. I don't care what generation or dispensation that you lived in. There is one thing that I want to boldly say to you. You should have a blessed hope to look forward to in your walk with God. And one of that blessed hope is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't there anybody here who can say amen to that? Amen. Amen. So let's start by reading Romans chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And I have to stick to Scripture very closely, because what I'm about to share with you, you do not hear being preached. But it needs to be clarified. Romans chapter 9. Verses 1 through 7. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as a seed. Now, when he says to those who are the children of the flesh, he was referring to Ishmael. Ishmael was spawned out of Hagar, Abraham's servant. Now, I want to share with you today the reason a lot of people stay away from end time events today is because to the normal thinker, a lot of it is really very difficult to understand. They get into things and they get into teachers on end time things that a lot of them I have never really heard because they're not speaking into my life today. But just because things seem difficult about end time things, it can be simplified. And so I'm trying to simplify end time things as simple as I can because I think that we are in the last of the last of the last days. I don't care how we paint the picture. It is getting more and more obvious all the time. And so, today, in order to understand an end time message, I really stand against those who believe in panning end times. It'll all pan out. People, we're not called panning for gold. Our life is a life of on purpose. It has direction. It has a vision. It has a goal. And if we don't know how to speak about end time things, then we're not going to be as effective as we should be. We should have a message for the end times. And as I was studying end times, I began to realize that you can't even understand many of the parables because many of the parables are spoken directly to Israel. Matter of fact, when you get into Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 22, I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Lonnie mentioned about the person with the wedding garment. If you don't understand the position that the nation of Israel has taken, you won't even understand the parable of the person who entered into heaven without a garment. He was referring directly to Israel. Israel will not have a place. And they say, come by the way of the new garment, which is to be born again. It's the wedding garment, the new birth. But the term, let's look at the term of the people of God. Because we've got two times this term is used. Number one, the term people of God reminds us, number one, that God has been working for human salvation ever since the fall. God approaches man with the concepts of covenants. God always makes the covenant. In doing so, he promises certain things to people, and he indicates what he expects of them in return. Now, the people of God was not only referring to the nation of Israel, but whether you realize it or not, the people of God now is referred to as what? The New Testament church. We are now the people of God. In Noah, in Abraham, and in the nation of Israel, there was always a people among the nations of the earth. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me, above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Speak these words to the children of Israel to give them a land, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37 and 38, to give stipulations of obedience to his commandments as a condition of their relationship. Find this in Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8, and Deuteronomy 7, 9, and 12. Now, when referring to the people of God for the nation of Israel, that's where I'm at right now. That God's call to Israel had two important features. Two important features. Number one, it was not something Israel deserved. Not because they were larger or stronger than any other nation. Deuteronomy 7:7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people. Not because they were spiritually superior. Deuteronomy 9:6. Verse 6, therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. As a nation most unimpressive, in bondage for generations, 490-some years in bondage, what nation would like to join up with that nation? Their call was centered entirely in God's love and faithfulness. His whole purpose was to keep the promises he had made to their ancestors. Deuteronomy 7:8. But because the Lord loves you, and because you would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Israel's election then was a matter of divine grace. The second feature was its distinct purpose. He did it not intended to play favorites. Now follow me closely. To play favorites by setting them apart from others as an exclusive object of his love. But he wanted to love all people through Israel. Israel was called to service, not to be elevated to a privileged status. But in Abraham's covenant, you'll find it was for all nations. Genesis 18:18, Genesis 22:18, and Genesis 26:4. Israel's covenant was the Mosaic. It was to be a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, and to bring out prisoners from the dungeons. Isaiah 42:6-7. God wanted to put the effects of his saving power on public display so that through Israel, salvation would reach the entire world. Romans 9:17 through Pharaoh. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49:6, Isaiah 52:10. So you see, this was the purpose of the nation of Israel. They were to be a light not to themselves, but to the nations of the whole world. Then we have somebody like Rahab. When she heard about how God brought Israel out with a mighty hand, she didn't focus on some special privilege that the nation has, but what was focused in her sight was, my gosh, that God is God. And she said, even the nations of the world that heard about that mighty deliverance, it says, for their hearts did fear and melt within them. Hallelujah. But the New Testament church, let's think about it for a moment. The New Testament church is now referred to as the same thing. People of God. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, The features of the church's call are identical to those of Israel. Nothing special of the early church that qualified them for special consideration. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. We owe our position entirely to the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Not because we are an exclusive group. Its purpose is intended to salvation to the entire world. It does this through proclamation and demonstration. Through proclamation and demonstration. You know, I heard years ago T.L. Osborne testimony. When we went to the nation of Africa, and many of the kings and presidents of those nations within Africa said, Teal, if you come to speak against any form of our beliefs or religion, you cannot speak. But if you come and preach Jesus only, we will give you permission. And Teal Osborne says, ditto, I'll take it. And he went to those nations and he proclaimed the power of God. And many had received the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry. Huge crusades. He reached the world because he never spoke against any form of religion. He just exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. In one service I heard that they intended on killing him. And there were seven priests of some form of religion were on the front row, and they were going to attack him and stab him to death. And how many of you know God knows what's going on, even though you don't? And he felt led to give a call for the deaf. Little did he know that all these priests were either deaf or half deaf that was going to stab him to death. And he said, if you come up here, he says, my Jesus will heal your hearing. And so all of them got up that wanted to stab him and went to the altar to be closer to stabbing him. But what had happened was God opened their ears and so they received Jesus. Proclamation and demonstration in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You are a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. We again are not because we are an exclusive group, but its purpose is to extend salvation to the whole world. To preach the good news that God acted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of all human beings, who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. The church is different from Israel in its international composition. And what I mean by that is that the church today was not called because we were a nation. But the New Testament abandons the church from all national, ethnic, and social group. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. We're not an exclusive nation, we are made up of the nations. Praise God. Galatians chapter 3, 28 and Romans 10, 11 and 12. Another difference is its attitudes towards Christ. The church views Christ as its saving activity in human history through death and resurrection. The Jews do not accept these claims for Jesus. They still await the coming of their Messiah. However, some believe Judaism is a parallel route to salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The book of Hebrews is a definite witness against this belief. Now, I'm going to preach some things you hadn't heard. You're going to almost think I'm anti-Israel, but I am not anti-Israel. I am keeping my mind in the right place for the sake of saving some that are Jews. In Romans 11, 1 through 7, it clearly gives us an understanding that God has not rejected Israel as a nation. He is still saving Jews also out of the nation. Romans 11, 5 through 14. With the crucifixion of Christ. Now this is where it gets real nasty. With the crucifixion of Christ, they forever forfeited their position as God's chosen people. But he is still going to grasp them back into the tree that they were cut out of, Romans 11, 23 and 24. The church is the recipient of the promises and the responsibilities that was earlier given to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile nations comes in, Romans 11, verse 25. Then he goes after the nation of Israel to save it. Romans 11, 26. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I'm going to capitalize all that I just said. Because when I was asking the Lord about that nation, he said, how come I didn't read Romans 9, 10, and 11? And I read it. Romans 9 is God's purpose for Israel's deliverance, was to speak to the world about his name. Romans 9, 17 through 24. Some received him, some were hardened, but declares that salvation was not intended for Israel only, but for all nations. Romans 9, 25 through 30. But with Israel, it became their stumbling block. Romans 9, 31, 32, and 33. But Romans 10 came into being because it did not stop salvation to come to the Gentile nations, as well as a remnant of Jews who believe. And Romans 11 says God's intention now is to complete reaching the nations, then turn back to receiving Israel literally during the last 3.5 years of tribulation in order to save that nation. Now I want to give you the last closing thoughts that I think will help you understand something. When we abandon Christianity for Judaism, we are given a witness in 6 major areas against Christ. We must be careful when we make decisions to choose out of ignorance. We always need to make choices in light, not darkness. There are 6 things that I wrote down that I've noticed when I hear somebody saying that Judaism and Christianity should be mixed together. 6 things come to mind. And I don't have time to go into all of them, but if you have pencil and paper, you need to write this down. Number 1, this is what is promoted by believers going into Judaism. Number 1, Judaism is superior to Christianity. That is number 1 primary thought that takes place in people's mind, that Judaism is superior to Christianity. Number 2, God intended to mark Israel as an exclusive object of his love, and nothing could be further from the truth. And point number 3, you're elevating them to a privileged status. To a privileged status. And in doing that, point number 4 comes up. You're demoting the present-day ministry of Christ over the body of Christ, which is the church. Which is the church. Number 5, the blessings only flow from that nation and not the church. People, nothing could be further from the truth. God's love was on that nation simply because he chose that nation to bring salvation to the world. And they forfeited that privilege by rejecting their Messiah. And point number 6, you cause people to live. You cause people to live out of the wrong house. What do I mean by that? Do we live out of the house of Moses or Christ as a son over his own house. Hebrews 3, 5 and 6. Now, God loves Israel. Don't get me wrong. But listen, people, if you do not declare the glory of Christ for this dispensation and this generation, then what you're doing is you're giving the nation of Israel the opportunity to glory in their position of rejecting our Messiah. I like what, I don't like what I heard. I detest what I heard. But when we were in Turkey and we were talking to several people who intermingle with the Jews, with the nation of Turkey itself, the Jews have clearly defined two ethnic groups there in Turkey that they look at Christians as crazy people. We are insane to believe that Jesus is the way to salvation. They only regard the first five books of the Torah. Then we get a Gentile rise up and write a book saying very clearly that the only way a blessing can flow to the body of Christ is through the Torah. People, I'm going to tell you something. God has called you to buy His Word. God has called me to feed you the Word of God. And the best thing I can do is go right back to the Word of God and declare that what I'm declaring to you today. If you want to know about end time things, then you get a hold of Romans chapter 9, you get a hold of Romans chapter 10, and you get a hold of Romans chapter 11, and you will clearly see how things have to be the way they are to be, because God has a purpose in closing our history and bringing in the last 7 years determined upon, guess what? The nation of Israel, not the Gentile Christianity. Now listen, if you think the church is going to convert the nation of Israel, I got news for you. You're spinning your wheels. The only way that the Jews are going to wake up to the fact that their Messiah came is the fact that a remnant was saved out of Israel during our generation, our time period, and they also went with the Gentile church to heaven. It will wake them up. It will get them to question. It'll put them in a position, then if we have the answer, why weren't we taken? Because the world is going to know that Jesus has taken the church. I used to didn't think that that would happen. I thought maybe they'd put it off on aliens or some excuse. But I believe that in these end times, I believe that Jesus wants as many churches as possible to teach the same message for the unity of the same heart and mind for the closing of our generation so that He can usher in that last 7 years and go after that nation to save it. And Satan's last damnable effort will be not only glad that the church has disappeared, but now he has exclusively a nation that he wants to go after to totally annihilate. And he's going to use the Antichrist to try and accomplish that. But he won't. Because why? Because my Bible tells me that Jesus also has a way of saving that wonderful nation. How? He literally comes back. And in Zechariah chapter 14, it says when he appears, well, 12, 13, and 14, says that when he appears, they look upon him and see his scars. They see the wounds in his hand and on his side and his feet. And they say that they, and then the nation begins to weep and mourn as though they crucified their own kind, their own children. And then they cry out, truly, it is our Messiah That is how they come to the completeness of the salvation of that nation. Not each individual, but at least 50% of that nation turns to God. And then God does what? He fights against all nations that comes against that nation. Because when He gave Israel that land belongs to the nation of Israel. And no one will take it from them. Do you understand that? And I'm listening to all these woe this and woe that end time stuff. And we got to really do our best to protect the nation. Listen, my Bible tells me nothing will happen to the nation of Israel. It will survive until the church is gone. And then its survival will be on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no nation that can take Him out. Woo! We get to see all that. We get to see all that. Satan goes after that nation through the Antichrist. There's only one problem. The church leaving is Israel's hope of salvation. The Antichrist doesn't realize that we've got the book that says that our departure is his downfall. Yes, I wish I could preach to every Jew that I run across. And yes, I would love to see him say, truly, he was my Messiah. But that ain't the facts. Facts is today, the nation of Israel looks at us and we're crazy because we need to abandon their God. People, it's time we share the message. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to heaven. And that is called to receive Jesus and get born again. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to close this. Probably a lot of you probably have a lot to say. But I am not anti-Israel. I am against bad doctrine. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, many times, or not Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 11. Go to Romans chapter 11. Here I'm over here in Hebrews and I need to be in Romans. Because Romans chapter 11 really gives you some wonderful insight. Wonderful insight. Now, let's go to verse 25 of Romans chapter 11. Because we want to close this out. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And so all Israel will be saved as is written. Now notice, all Israel will be saved as is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them. When I take away their sins concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, speaking to us Gentiles. But concerning the election, the choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. That is referring to the Jewish people. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. What He intended for the Jewish nation, He intended for us. Now we use this scripture as when God calls us, He's, once that calling's there, it's never revoked. That's not what that verse is referring to. It's referring to when God called the Jewish nation for its purpose and its intention, He called us as well. Now notice, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience, Gentiles, the Jew. Even so also have now been disobedient, the Jew, that through the mercy shown you, the Gentile, they also may obtain mercy, the Jew. For God has committed them. And when I saw this, I was shocked. But for God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all, both Jew and Gentile. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways fast finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. But notice he said he had committed them all to disobedience. That is where we find that same word over there in 2 Thessalonians when he talks about God having to do what? Having to remove the glory of the church that the church may be glorified in him, and the only ones that would remain are the disobedient and those who refuse the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church is removed, that opens the door now for God to come back and preach specifically to them concerning the salvation that you and I had inherited. Oh, the depths and the riches of God. I'm going to tell you, when God brings things to a close, he doesn't do it to obliviate people. He does it to reach more. Just like in Noah, he got down to one man. And he said, I got to put an end to it. What? So in their repentance of death, they would be with the Lord. And they were there, found there. Because when he came up out of the grave, made the proclamation to those from that generation that had died in the flood. And he said, the reason you're here is because you repented in your death at the preaching of Noah. Same thing is happening. People, there are going to be people saved during that 7-year period. Not according to transformation of the spirit of man, but through the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, period over and out. For the Holy Spirit will work during that 7-year period to save people. Not only the Holy Spirit, but angels will fly across the heavens. 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe, which tells me the nation of Israel, once the church gone, reestablishes itself in its Judaism. Matter of fact, I was reading one of the chapters on the letter to the Nicene Fathers, the anti-Nicene Fathers, meaning the converts that were converted by the apostles who reject the Nicene Council because they were religious nutcases. And they said, Jonathan, one of the priests said, that the 144,000, John and I read it right out of the book, according to history, that the 144,000 Jews are saved by the Christianity of the Gentile nations. I hope I cleared up a big mystery to you. Everything has to glorify Jesus and glorify the purpose of the church. We are the body of Christ ministering in the earth. He has cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship. You know what that is? He didn't go up there with his blood and wiped up a bunch of instruments off with his blood. That's not what that's saying. When he says he cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship, what he was talking about, the spirits of just men during our generation being made perfect. Glory to God. My spirit is a heavenly utensils of worship for him. Just like today when we were worshiping. Didn't you feel the presence of God in here? You want to know why? And because we are the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our spiritual home that Jesus resides in. He is in the Holy of Holies in our hearts. Hallelujah. He is our Redeemer. He is our salvation. Glory to God. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. We're a holy people, a royal priesthood. Not because we earned it, because He gave it. And that's enough for me. I preached my age out. Let's not get religious. Let's keep our place in Him. Hallelujah. Let's keep the Word rightly divided so that people think the right things. Let's bow our heads in reverence to the Spirit here this morning. If you're here this morning and you said, Father, I've never given my heart and life to Jesus, would love to receive Him. Restore my walk with Him. Whatever it is that you need, salvation, restoration, to restore your walk with Him, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or for physical healing. Whatever it is that you need, we want to make this opportunity right now, this moment in time, for you to respond. So if you're here this morning and the message has touched your heart, has brought clarity to your need for your Savior, feel free now to step out and come forward, anybody. And don't you be ashamed, for this opportunity is yours. I know that sometimes we get a little concerned about what other people think, but it doesn't matter. What's in your heart that matters. So if you need salvation, you need restoration or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing, whatever it is, feel free to step out and come up now. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Anyone else would like to feel free to come forward? Praise God. Yes. Right here. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Now is the time. Now is the time. Won't do anything to embarrass you. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, folks, let's pray, and the altar workers are ready. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for these wonderful people that have come forward, whatever it is that they need. Father, may they receive it now in Jesus' name. And we thank You for speaking to their hearts, whatever that need may be, in Jesus' name. Amen.